Are you ready for the Word of God today?
Amen.
Amen. You excited? Yes. Go ahead and grab your Bibles, hold those up in the air, and repeat this after me. This is my Bible, and I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open up my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. Amen. All right, you can open up your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 2. We're going to get there in just a moment. I want to kind of lay a foundation. We are in a series entitled, "Tis the Season to Be." We're going to conclude it today. We're going to receive communion at the end of the service. And so we're going to bring it all together and believe God for His word to come to pass in our lives. God's been talking to us recently about seasons are changing. And God's got some good things in store for us. He's got good plans for us. He's a God of a suddenly, God of surprise us by grace, amen. And it's also a time and a season of freedom and breakthrough, and let's just say yes to those things. And so many times throughout Scripture, we see God just showing up in people's lives, whether or not they wanted to see Him, whether or not they were looking for Him, whether or not they were hoping for those miracles. God still brought them, and in the last few weeks, we've been talking about God is just saying some things, and let's get on the same page as God, that next year and next season's better than the season you've been in. And then if there's been this constant roller coaster of emotions in your life, anxiety up, down, you can't seem to get any traction with Jesus, well, it's a new day, and it's time to move forward. If you've got some physical things that have been going on, let's believe God, this is your season of healing and breakthrough. If you've got financial needs, let's believe God, the finances are here, and it's time. Can I get an amen? What I liked about the last few weeks is that God was really talking to us about grace, and He's really talking to us that this was His will, this was His plan, this is what He's doing, and there's even going to be people that in the background are sitting there negatively saying, well, we'll see, and God, even in your bad attitude, is going to show up and do something because you're His kid and He just does that kind of thing. But today I want to kind of do the other side of the coin, the other side, and that is being believing and expectant for what God has been saying. As much as I want you to hear that, you know what, God's going to surprise some of you who might not have been looking for His goodness, might not have been looking for His breakthrough, as much as we can say that's part of the gospel that we've been preaching, that God just shows up and interrupts people's lives, says, here I am, here's your blessing, here I am, here's your breakthrough. The Bible teaches us about believing. The Bible talks to us that believing puts us in position of receiving. And so I want to encourage some of you that might be sitting back saying, well, we'll see. I would like to turn you from we'll see into I believe today. We are believers. Amen. And we are at our best when we are believing believers. We are at our best because you can be a believer and not being a believing believer. You might believe in God, but you might not believe God. Do you see the difference? I can believe God exists. I can believe Jesus is the Son of God, but God says something about my breakthrough and I might be hesitant to believe that. I might not say I don't believe in God, but I might in my attitude say I'm not believing what God's saying right now about my breakthrough, my healing, my deliverance, my freedom. Are you understanding what I'm saying? See, here's what it is. A Christian can say, I believe there is a God, but I don't believe I can get free from this addiction. See, you're a believer in Jesus, but you're not believing what Jesus said, saying, I've come to set you free. And so today, we want to be believing believers. Because believing believers are not left to random, I wonder if God's going to do something. Believing believers receive. Amen. And so today, rather than taking a casual approach, saying, well, we'll see, I want to turn you into a believing believer. You know, there's a story in the book of Mark, chapter 9, where a man comes to Jesus, and his son... is verse 23 and 24, and his son had been demonized basically his whole life, went into seizures, this demon was trying to kill this boy, and the man brings his son to all kinds of people, probably doctors and all kinds of counselors and people, to maybe try church leaders probably to help his son get freedom, and his son was getting worse, and this devil was trying to kill this boy, and he brings him, the boy, to the apostles or the disciples, and the disciples can't get the kid free. So this dad is very discouraged. He's very disappointed. He's becoming a disbeliever that his kid's ever going to get his breakthrough. His kid's always going to be this way. But in steps Jesus. And the man brings his son to Jesus. And Jesus says, can I help you, basically? And the man says, if you can, you know, maybe you can. And Jesus just kind of pauses and says, if I can. Jesus challenges him and says something very important I want you to see this morning. In Mark chapter 9, 23 and 24, Jesus says to him, if I can, he says, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe, help my unbelief. That's where I want to challenge you today. You might be like this dad who's been disappointed. I mean, this man brought his kid to the best church leaders of the day, even the disciples. He didn't get the breakthrough. And so now he begins to doubt, will Jesus even be able to help my son? And so here we are in the last few weeks talking to you about God's promise, what Jesus is speaking forth. But you might have had so many disappointments in the past. You're having a hard time. You believe in God, you believe in Jesus, but you're having a hard time believing in this, something's going to change in your life. That things can turn around. They can turn around immediately. They can turn around suddenly. They can turn around tomorrow. They can turn around today. Amen? And you have a hard time. And you're like this guy. In your heart, you want to believe what God's been saying over the last 2 weeks. But you say, I'm still struggling with unbelief. And that's okay. That's real. Can we just be real for a moment? That happens to us. That's part of the human experience. We have a challenge in keeping ourselves in a position of believing. But notice what Jesus says. He says, all things are possible to the one who believes. Here's the deal. I've said this many times, and I'm going to keep it going in your heart so you get it redundant, learn it. The devil can't stop God. Can I get an amen? Yeah, you can celebrate that. That's cool. The devil can't stop God. But he can stop you from believing God. See, all things are possible to the one who believes. But if you turn off your believing faucet, all things are no longer possible for us. Does that make sense? It's not that the devil can stop God. He knows he can't stop God. But if he can stop you from believing, he can stop God. Because all things are possible to the one who will believe. See, if you keep that faucet of belief on, all things are still possible. Any given moment, any given day, everything can change. God's promise will come to pass. He's not a man that he should lie. But if you turn that faucet of belief off, you dry up. You dry up. See, believing believers, that's who we're supposed to be. Believing believers. Amen? There's a scripture in the book of Revelation where the Bible talks about Satan. And he says Satan, one of his titles, or what he does is he goes to wear out the saints. And that happens when you're buffeted day in and day out with whatever you're going through. You get tired. Your faith hands begin to drop a little bit. And you need someone to come underneath you and pick those hands back up and say, you know what, we're going to believe together. We're going to keep believing God. We are not going to quit believing God because what God said is going to come to pass no matter what. See, the devil's trying to wear you out. Can't wear God out. He's trying to wear you out. He's trying to outrun you, but you can outrun the devil. Amen? Amen? You wear him out. Don't let him wear you out. And so today, tis the season, we've been in this series, tis the season to be, today is tis the season to believe, it's core value of what we are as a church. We will continue to encourage you, we will continue to speak faith, hope, and love over your life. Tomorrow is better than today, next year is better than last year, the future is better than the past, we're moving forward, amen, we're not going backwards. We don't look over our shoulder to the sweet backward. Amen. We look forward into God's plan and future into our lives. Open your Bibles back to Luke chapter 2. I want to talk to you about this Christmas story, about what we are very familiar with in the area of believing and in this Christmas passage that we read almost every year. Hopefully some of you have some traditions like this and you read this maybe in your family setting. But in this Christmas holiday season, we talk a lot about believe. You know, there's a movie, Miracle on 34th Street. Have you ever seen it? All right, and the newer version, I haven't seen the older one in a long time, in the newer version, everyone is trying, Santa Claus is on trial, all right, whether or not this man is Santa Claus. And I have no problem with Santa Claus, by the way, I'm a Kringle, it's in my blood, okay, I get kicked out of the family if I have a problem with Santa Claus, just the way it is. So, but in this family movie, Miracle on 34th Street, Santa Claus is on trial whether or not he's Santa Claus. And they ask everyone who believes to show up outside the courthouse or to wear a button that says believe or I believe on it. And there's all these things about believing in this season that people get a hold of. Now, I always get kind of moved in that moment where it strikes 12 and everyone's like, I believe. And I'm in my living room going, me too, you know, because it's just such an emotional thing. I don't know. I'm still a kid at heart. I'm like, yes, I want there to be Santa Claus too. Anyways, but we're not talking about believing in Santa Claus right now. We're talking about believing God. But this season really is a season of believing, and I want to show you that in this Christmas passage, there are a lot of things for us to believe and draw hope from. And I want you to pay attention to some of the things, some of the acts of God, some of the personality of God, some of the nature of God, some of the things that God did in this story. And I'm going to ask you, please don't just read through it, believe what it says. Believe again. Do we even believe what it is that's set before us in this powerful time of year? It's supposed to be, every year, this is supposed to be a testimony of these things that we believe. And too many times we get so busy and we just plow through this season. It's just like the devil to push us too fast to notice what it is we're celebrating. Because if we notice what we're celebrating, it testifies of what we're believing. And if we can get our believing back together again, God's got so much potential and so many promises to bring to pass in your life. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Are you ready? I'm going to read. It's a little lengthy, but it's our Christmas story. It's our Christmas service. And I enjoy this passage. I want you to enjoy it with me. Here we go. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census would be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who he was engaged to, and she was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified and frightened. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And so they came in a hurry, and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. Can we say amen for God's word? So many things in this passage of Scripture to believe. You know, it's kind of an unbelievable story if you think about it. We've got a virgin conceiving and giving birth. That's something unbelievable and natural. We've got angels and heavenly announcements going on. That's unbelievable. This announcement that changes humanity, that's pretty powerful and hard to believe and get our hand around. This entire story has to do with supernatural and believing something and believing all these potential things that are going on. And so I want to break down a few slices of the story that might apply not just to the history books and not just to church in general, but to your life. Because today is about believing. 'Tis the season to believe. And in seeing this story with new eyes, there are some things I think that God every year could challenge us with to believe these truths again, to believe these things again, because we get buffeted and we lose some of that expectation. Some of the things that we need to remember in this season and in this story, one of the big things that this story teaches us is this: God will do what no eye has seen and no ear has heard to take care of those who love him. Can I hear an amen for that? Do you understand? God wanted to save humanity. Humanity was lost. There was no solution. The devil was ruling and reigning, and God did something that no one had thought of, no one had ever created, no one had ever seen a virgin conceived before, no one ever thought God would put on flesh and come to earth. The devil didn't see that coming. If he would have saw it coming, he wouldn't have done anything. He wouldn't have killed him. He wouldn't have done what he did. But you see, God had a way of fixing our problems in a way we could not even imagine. And that's what I want to help you see in your situation. You might think your situation is so destitute. Your situation is so difficult. We've been in this place so long. You understand? Humanity had never known freedom from their sin. Humanity had never known freedom from the devil's oppression. From the history of the first man and first woman, none of us had ever known what it was like to be free of the fall. So you might say, my family's been this way for years. My kids have been this way. We've been raised in poverty. We've been raised in a defeated mentality. We've been raised with these generational curses and addictions and sicknesses. We have no background of freedom. I'm here to tell you, God has a way to get you free. You may not have knowledge of being free. You don't know how to get yourself free, but He is preparing a way to bring you your promise, to bring your freedom. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what He's preparing for you. You see, He did it for humanity, but it wasn't just for humanity. It speaks something of His nature. Don't look at what you can understand and conceive in order to turn your situation around. God may create something totally new. See, this story is helping us to believe something that we might not have been believing. Because we look at the natural and we say there is no way our finances can turn around. There is no way our marriage can turn around. There is no way our health can turn around. There is no foreseeable transformation. Yet God prepares those things which we cannot understand. They're beyond our understanding. And He has a way to fix it that we could, once it happens, we're like, wow, I didn't see that coming. Not that way. That's not the way I would have saw it. But God said, that's the way I wanted to do it. You see, in that same way, what God's conceiving and creating this story always also teaches us that if God has to even bend and break the laws of nature, He'll do it to get your miracle to your life. You understand, virgins don't conceive, everybody. It just don't happen. It doesn't happen. I don't know if you know that or not. We're going to go to health class right now. I can show you a diagram or whatever. Just kidding, I won't do that. It's Christmas. But what I'm trying to help you understand is not even the laws of nature handcuff God to how He's going to take care and fix what's going on in our lives. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God is preparing for you. And again, you might say it's impossible. There's no way. I'm telling you. God, you know what else is impossible? Red seas aren't supposed to part, but He did. Water is not supposed to come out of a rock, but it did. Amen. God created food from heaven called manna, and people go, what is this? Because they've never seen it before. God is preparing. See, this story, this season is about believing that God is preparing your breakthrough, your freedom, your provision, your healing. And He's doing it in a way that you may not see coming, but you please be a believing believer, expecting it to take place. Let me get a good amen out of you there. Something else we see in this story is that God suddenly changed the course of the world. God suddenly took the world who had been in its fallen place for so long, and in one moment, the world woke up with hopelessness, and the world went to sleep with peace on earth, goodwill towards men. I mean, that's pretty powerful. That not only is God preparing something, but in one moment, you could literally get one phone call that changes your life forever. You know, we always get that in the negative. It's easy for us to believe that, you know, you even hear pastors say, one phone call could ruin your life. I know. Thanks, pastor. I appreciate that. You know, you can get one report from the doctor, one bad day on the office, one thing could take it all away from you. And there's this like fear and panic. But you know, just as much as one phone call or one moment can change your life for bad, one moment can change your life for good. One phone call, one new relationship this year, one new opportunity this year can move you from being here in this low level up here to this place of ruling and reigning. I'm telling you, you be expectant in this next season. 'Tis the season to believe. Why do I have more expectation that something bad's going to happen in the next 5 minutes than something great when I serve a God that is for me? He's not against me. All things are possible to those who believe. He's got good thoughts for my life. Amen. You don't need to be afraid of walking out of your house or answering the phone. It might be your next $1 million. You know, you open the door, they got a big check waiting for you. $100 million. I want a magazine thing. Who knows what? Hallelujah. Let's start being expecting. Amen. Believing believers. The other thing that's pretty powerful in this story that I think we need to notice is that God changed everything right under the nose of a hostile kingdom and a fallen world environment that didn't want the Savior to come. You know, King Herod, when he had heard that Jesus had been born, set out to kill every baby two and under when the wise men came, because he was hostile against anyone else coming and becoming the new king of Israel or becoming the new king in general. The devil didn't want Jesus to come because there had been a prophecy way back in the garden that when the Messiah came, he was going to crush the devil's head. The devil didn't want Jesus to come. The natural kingdoms of this earth didn't want Jesus to come or God's plan to come. But you know what? Right in the face of opposition, right in the face of adversity, God's kingdom came and it began to grow and develop. The devil cannot stop God's plan over your life. And human beings can't stop God's plan over your life. Amen. People in authority and power who think they're in power and think they can boss you around, they cannot stop God's plan over your life. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Right under the nose of opposition, of a world that didn't want it to happen, his kingdom still came. And his kingdom is still growing. And his kingdom will know no end. Same is true with your life. Can we not just look at it like a broad picture, but look at it like a personal picture? You might have friends and relatives who don't want you to succeed. You might have people at the workplace who seem like they're always against you. You might have an employer that doesn't see your potential, is always hard on you. But you know what? Here's the truth. You're going to grow and prosper anyway. You're going to break through and break out anyway. Amen. You might say, well, our culture, our government, these individuals, they don't want the church to grow. The church is going to grow because Jesus said, my kingdom will not be defeated by the gates of hell. The kingdom of God, the church, will prevail. We're going to grow. It's just going to happen. The kingdom of God is going to move forward. And so I just want you to see that no matter if a person or a demon or whatever system or structure is set against you, God's kingdom in this passage of scripture that we just read, in the face of adversity, God's will still wins. God's will over your life still wins. Right under the face of a lot of opposition, he's still going to win. Amen. You know, a couple things else that we need to see in this scripture is the manger. There's a few pieces I want you to see. They teach us things. The manger. Something powerful about the manger. The manger teaches us to believe and to understand that God's solutions, God's miracles, some of the greatest things that changed the world came in such humble beginnings. Some places that you would think, how could God's transforming will and miracle come out of a manger, a stable? You know, you think God would come and be born in a palace. God would come and be born in a big fancy place because this is God coming to earth. And yet we know in this passage of scripture that the Lord will bring his solutions. The Lord will send his miracle. The Lord's kingdom will begin anywhere that will open their door. Anywhere that will open their door. Why do I say that? Because some of you might feel like your environment where you live is like that stable. It's not fancy. It's not nice. Some of you have a bunch of kids and it smells like a stable in your house. I know ours sometimes looks like cattle has run through the house. So it's perfect because you're in line for a miracle and a breakthrough. God's going to visit your house. You can see that. What I want you to see is this. You don't have to say, well, I'm from a rich background or I'm from this powerful leader background for God to bring something into my life to change the world. Any life that is open that says, I'll make room for you, Jesus. God will put his miracles. God will put his solutions. God will put his seed of the word of God that will grow in that environment. The manger teaches us that it has nothing to do linking with how rich or fancy we are on the outside. It has to do with the openness of our heart on the inside. So please do not disregard your breakthrough. Please do not disregard God using your life or your family because you live in an environment or you think you don't have enough. As long as your house is open, as long as there's a place for Jesus, he's going to be there and he's going to be born in that situation and he's going to transform a part of the world through that situation and through your family and through your residence. Amen. The manger. See, these are things that we forget that we believe here. That God can come into a place like this, into a home like this, into a humble and beginnings just like this. But he loves to come into those places and shock the world about where he's going to show up and how he's going to come and start from those places and bring great transformation. Some other place that we learn stuff throughout this passage of scripture. The shepherds. Something I want you to see about the shepherds. I thought this was interesting. When the angels come and they say, hey, I've got an announcement. And you're going to see this baby wrapped in clothes and lying in the manger. And this multitude of heavenly hosts shows up. And they say, glory to God in the highest, peace and the goodwill towards men. I love the shepherd's response in that moment. The shepherds are like, we should go see that. Like, that's a shock to anybody, right? It's like, what else would your response be? You just saw like a host of angels. You just saw this angel show up and say, the Messiah's come. The King is in the earth. Glory to God in the highest. And then they disappear. And they're like, you know what? We should really go see that. But I want you to see what the angel said. The angel said that something had happened. The King had been born. Now he was giving the shepherds the opportunity to go see it. See, Jesus was born whether or not the shepherds went and saw it. God's solution was in the earth whether or not the shepherds went to see it. God was doing something whether or not the shepherds went there. God was already doing it. But now the angel, the messenger of God, was announcing to the shepherds that God's transforming power, God's king was in the earth, God's solution was in the earth. I'm giving you an opportunity now to go see it. I'm giving you an opportunity to go make it a part of your life and what you believe. And see, that's the challenge today, isn't it? The king has been born. God's solution is in the earth. The kingdom of God is growing, is moving. Forgiveness is made available. Grace is made available. Access to God is made available. And God is sending a messenger into your life saying transformation, God's involvement in your life, God's breakthrough, God's power has been made available to you. Are you going to go see it, or are you going to just sit there and just do nothing about it? Do you understand this? See, the believing story, the believing part of this passage is shepherds, look, you're hearing this great announcement over what God is making available to you. I'm asking you to believe it and now go place your eyes on it and receive it into your own life and say, I want to go see the promise with my own eyes. I want to receive the promise into my life. I want to receive the word of God, Jesus, into my life. See, because the word's going to work for those who believe. The word's going to work, and Jesus is going to come into the lives of those who receive him. And the shepherds would have missed it altogether if they wouldn't have gone and possessed it. See, some of you are going to go see it. Some of you are going to go receive it. Some of you are going to go say, I'm going to lay hold of it. I'm going to go grab a hold of what the angel just told me, what the message just told me. And they're going to grow, and they're going to receive it. Others will just sit back and say, well, maybe we'll just let that go. The shepherds got to partake of it because they went and received it. And so I encourage you today, go and receive it. Something else we learn in this story is from the angels. I don't know about you, but for some reason I always thought this was a heavenly choir. People have taught it in Sunday school that way for some reason, and I've seen it in Christmas pageants and Christmas plays where the angels show up and it's like this heavenly choir, and they're just like, you know, hark the herald angels see. Glory to, woo! And it's like, yeah, it's a heavenly choir. Hallelujah. You know, did you like my dancing? Thank you, everybody. I practiced that. Thank you. Thank you very much. I didn't fall off the stage. But you know what? The Bible doesn't say it was a heavenly choir. I want you to see something very powerful about this story. The Bible said it was the heavenly hosts. You know what the hosts were in the Bible? Armies. Armies. This wasn't a little song to be sung. This was a great announcement that changed the history of the human race. You see, this was a kingdom decree. Are you going to believe this or not? It wasn't a cute little nativity story with a cute little choir just singing like joy to the world. God entrusted this announcement. This was like generals of the heavenly armies. This is soldiers of the heavenly armies. And they burst forth on the scene, unroll the scroll, and they say, peace is now on the earth. And God has goodwill towards men, and we are here to enforce it. We are here to announce it and enforce it and declare it to the devils on the planet and declare it to the darkness on the planet. God entrusted this announcement not to a choir, but to his armies. See, something powerful changed on that nativity night. Something powerful was announced that day, but will we believe it? See, we still act like the devil wins. We still act like the devil's got all this power and the devil's champion and sin still can boss you around. Bondage can still hold you down. But you know what? There was a legal decree. There was a kingdom decree that said peace on earth. Goodwill. You know what goodwill is? God's will. You know, Jesus said, you call me good. There is none good but God. God's will can now get into the lives of men. Amen. Not based on their works, but based on that offering that's now in the earth. See, peace was brought because God's peace offering in the earth. Now God can bring his will towards your life because of that peace offering. God's got goodwill towards your life. You know, some people think God's out to get them. Some people think God's out to hunt them down. God's out to take away all their fun. God's trying to bring you life, not death, my friend. Real life. God's trying to bring you hope in a future. God's trying to bring you eternal life. God is the one that gave you life. He knows how you function best in life. And you know, from the fall of man, we were never able to enjoy the God's will life because we were too bound in the devil's will for our lives and our own fallen nature's will for our lives. But God in that night sends a heavenly decree and says, all things are now possible. You can have my will for your life. You can have my purposes, my plans for your life because my peace offering, Jesus, is in the earth. Not based on your good works, but because my son is in the earth. Now I can announce I have goodwill and my goodwill can be offered to you. Isn't that powerful? So now what you got to do is like the shepherds, go receive it. Go get it. Amen? Awesome. Last thing I want you to see about this story is the baby factor. Something about God's will and God's solutions and God's answer in your life. Big heavenly announcement. Everything's changed. God's will, God's favor towards man is made available because of the peace offering in the earth, Jesus. But notice something. When God brings transformation and change sometimes in our lives, it comes in a package that we might not be expecting, and it might not be fully grown yet. See, when Jesus came, he was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the Savior of humanity. He was the devil's worst nightmare. Everything had changed, but when the angels made the announcement, when God said basically this thing is now coming to its finish, you know, we see Jesus in this form of a baby. Sometimes when breakthrough happens in your life, when transformation happens in your life, when God's promises get fulfilled in your life, they start like in this infancy form, but don't worry, they will grow to full maturity. Does that make sense? See, you might get this much breakthrough in the next few weeks and months, but if this much breakthrough decrees this much breakthrough because the baby's been born. The Word of God has been received into your life. You see, Jesus is, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. That baby is the Word of God. The Word of God put on flesh, dwelt among us. That baby is the Word of God being born into your life. You receive that Word of God into your life. It has been born, and do not worry. That Word will grow, and it will do exactly what it was sent out to do. You see, the heavens celebrated as if it was totally finished that night when the baby was born. Are you understanding what I'm saying? May you as well celebrate that your breakthrough is finished because the Word of God has been delivered. You have received that Word of God into your life. And though it might seem like just a small, simple beginning, it will come to pass. He will be faithful to complete which he started. Amen? Amen. This is all stuff that we believe about this story. You know, we sit there and say, the whole world changed on Christmas night. It did because the Word came to the earth on Christmas night. But yet it was 33 years later that he died on a cross and rose again. But yet we know it all can be traced back to the moment the Word was brought forth into the world. And today, the Word is being brought forth into your life. And so today, we can celebrate like from this moment on. Even though there still looks like there's wicked rulers, even though it still looks like things haven't changed for 13 years, then Jesus shows up, does a little miracle. Then another few years, Jesus is announced into ministry. And then boom, I'm just telling you, the whole thing is changing. Everything changes as of the day you receive the Word of God. And I'm not saying it's going to take 33 years. I'm just saying the Bible teaches us something about these promises. We receive them. Those promises grow and they go into maturity. But the moment they're received, it's happened. It's done. And we can begin to celebrate it. Amen? Ushers, would you please begin to pass out our communion emblems? We're going to receive communion together as a church. You know, we've talked a lot about in the last few weeks, believe, believe, believe. And today I want to receive communion with this heart that says, I believe. Do you believe today? Amen. Really, are you with us? Do you believe that God's going to change your situation? Amen? That God's promise is going to come to pass in your life. You guys can go ahead and begin to pass those out. That's fine. Let me grab one real quick. I believe that this was an on-time, on-season series, and we are going to receive communion as a good conclusion to say amen. You know, communion is for us a declaration. It is a remembrance that it's a finished work and that his body was broken to heal you of your brokenness. Amen? Whether that's spiritual, mental, physical, or emotional. His blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. You know, the angels had one more announcement I want to share with you while they're passing out communion. It's found in Luke chapter 2, verse 11. This is what he said. He said, unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. We know that when Jesus was born, he was the Savior, is the Savior of the whole world. But I love how the angel made it personal to the shepherds. He said, unto you, shepherd. Maybe his name was Sam. Unto you, Sam, was born a Savior. That Savior is Christ the Lord. That Savior isn't Superman. That Savior isn't a fairy tale. That Savior isn't the Easter Bunny. That Savior is Christ the Lord. It's important that you understand that this message, this nativity message, is very personal. That God is coming to your life to be your Savior. Now, the idea of Savior, that's interesting, right? Because we always think he just comes to save us of our sins. It's part of it. But do you understand that Jesus came to save you from the fall of mankind? Jesus came to save you from the attacks of the devil. Jesus came to save you from your own mistakes and missteps. Jesus came to save you from the garbage other people throw at you. Jesus comes to save you from the hurt other people have caused in your life. He is our Savior of all those things. And the cool part about Saviors is Saviors save. Isn't that great? You might say, well, he saved me from my mess last year, and I got myself in another mess. He will always be your Savior if you need him, if you run to him and ask him. You will always need him. But if you say, please save me again, he says he'll never cast you away. And so today I challenge you. Jesus is your Savior, not just of sin, but that's why we've been declaring and decreeing over the last 3 weeks breakthrough. Because whatever's holding you back, Jesus is the Savior of that. Whatever oppression you're under, Jesus is your Savior of that. Whatever broken place in your life, Jesus is your Savior of that. Unto you was born this day a Savior. And he's Christ the Lord. It's Christ the Lord. Do you believe that? Because really that's what all these sermon series, this series has been about. It's all been about he's your Savior. He's bringing salvation. Will you believe it? And so as we receive communion today, you know, he promised you your salvation in his own blood, in his own broken body. I love the idea of the bread because the bread speaks of his body, which was broken for us. It speaks of his body being pierced and striped and broken to heal us of all of our broken places. It's powerful. That's this physical brokenness. You might need a healing today. I believe today, as we bring this to a conclusion, you can receive your healing even as we receive communion today. Can I get expectation in there? Anybody? Spirit there? But you know what? You might say this holiday season brings back so many memories, so much pain, so much sorrow, so much anger and unforgiveness. Do you understand he was broken to take away your brokenness? That even in this moment of communion, we can believe, God, that your heart is restored. And that this isn't a season of bitterness anymore or of sorrow or fear. Maybe you've lost somebody. But the Bible says we don't mourn like those who have no hope. Amen? And blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Maybe today you can receive the comfort that you've been seeking. Again, this nativity message has so many things we can believe. We can believe. So today I'm believing by the end of this service, your brokenness is removed and God makes you whole. I love that. And I love the blood of Jesus, the juice that we drink. It represents his blood. Because we say, oh, that's the forgiveness of our sins. It represents the forgiveness of our sins. You want to know what else it represents? It represents any excuse or anything the devil would use to say you can't get what God's promised you. That's a powerful statement. The Bible says that when Jesus died on the cross, he took all the sins, all the accusations against you that the devil would use to say you don't deserve that. This guy doesn't deserve healing. This guy, this gal doesn't deserve a breakthrough. This person doesn't deserve a miracle. This person doesn't deserve God to help them. The Bible says Jesus took all that list of accusations against you and nailed it to the cross, thus removing the power of the devil over your life. Isn't that awesome? That's also what the blood of Jesus represents. It means it makes you as white as snow, which means there is no reason that God can't bring you the breakthrough it is that you're believing for. See, the last 3 weeks we've been talking about tis the season to be, be free, to be transformed, to be surprised by God's grace. And the blood of Jesus makes sure that you are in right standing with God so you're qualified. Not because you qualified yourself, but because he qualified you. There is no excuse. There's nothing the devil can accuse you of that says you don't get it. Because of Jesus, you are in perfect position. You're in perfect line to receive what God's promised you. Can you say amen? Amen. Go ahead and stand up. Let's receive communion today together. The Bible says Jesus took the bread and he said, this is token is my body, which was broken for you. As often as you eat of this bread, would you do it in remembrance of me? Can we break the bread and take it together? Would you begin to say, Lord, I believe I'm restored. I believe right now that my brokenness is made whole. I give you those broken places. I believe my body is healed. I believe my mind, my will, my emotions are healed. I believe I am made whole. You were broken that I might be made whole. I believe. Would you just start speaking that over your life and receiving His will of wholeness over your life? I believe. I am no longer broken and fractured and wounded. Lord, heal those places of my heart. I forgive those people. I release those people. I release those disappointments, even the ones I've created. I repent. I receive forgiveness. Lord, transform me right now. I believe. I believe. Take my brokenness and make me whole. I believe. The Bible says that after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. As often as you receive it, you proclaim my death until I come." Can we partake of the cup of the blood of Jesus together? Lord, we thank you for forgiveness of our sins. And we thank you for what that means, that there is a new garment on us that's white as snow. You took our rags of sin, our rags of breaking God's law, and you put on robes of righteousness on us, God. And we are as white as snow. We look clean like Jesus. We look like sons and daughters of God. And Lord, in the natural, we don't qualify for what it is we're believing for. But Lord, because of Jesus, because of God's peace offering on the earth, Lord, we receive by faith your promise. Can you say, "I believe"? I believe and I receive my promise. I receive my breakthrough. I receive my healing, Lord, our provision that we need, our turnaround. Lord, I believe and I receive what you've been speaking over our lives in the area of ministry and future and business advancement to help people and to grow your kingdom, God. I believe. I'm done arguing with you. I believe. And we receive and we give you thanks for your kindness, for your compassion, for your grace. We give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you celebrate that with God today? Go ahead and just give him an offering of praise, would you? Amen. Before I dismiss you, I want to give you an opportunity to believe in the beginning. Some of you, you're here because of family or friends or whatever, but God's reaching out to you. You might be in Geneseo right now visiting, and God's reaching out to you. The Bible tells us some stuff about our lives without Jesus. It says that we've sinned. All of us have sinned. Broken God's law. We've sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And the wages and the penalty of that sin is death, separation from God and hell. But the gift of God is eternal life, and that's through Jesus Christ the Lord. The Bible goes on to say that all who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So today I want to give you an opportunity to call on the name of the Lord. You may never have cried out and said, "Jesus, be my God and my Savior." See, this thing isn't about, "Well, I think I've been good. I think I haven't done too much wrong." That's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say those who've not done this or not done that. The Bible says those who've called on the name of the Lord will be saved. Ask yourself, have you ever called on Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? God wants you to know you have eternal life. He wants you to know you have right standing with Him. And so if I can get everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes just for the next 30 seconds, even in Geneseo right now, bow your heads and close your eyes. I want to give you an opportunity to get things right with God. You may say, "I've never given my heart to Jesus. I cannot remember a time in my life that I've prayed a prayer to make Jesus my Lord and Savior." Or you might say, "I used to have a relationship with God, but I walked away, and today I want to reaffirm I want Jesus to be my God." If that's you today, I'm not going to call you to the front. I want to pray with you right at your seat. But I do want you to be brave enough to acknowledge you want prayer. So with everyone's head bowed and eyes closed, if you say, "Pastor Kevin, that's me. I need to get my heart right with Jesus. Would you pray for me?" Please slip your hand up right where you are, and I'll pray for you this morning. Anybody at all? Just acknowledgement saying, "I need to get right with God." There's a hand right over there. Two hands over there. Awesome. Anybody else? "Pray for me, Pastor." There's another hand in the back. Awesome. "I want to get my heart right with God. Pray for me, Pastor." Don't leave this place out of relationship with the Lord for any reason. Geneseo, you can raise your hand as well. Anybody else today? Just pop your hand up right up and we'll pray for you today. There's another hand over there. Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else today? Okay, church, would we all just pray a prayer together so they're not praying by themselves? Pray this prayer after me. "Dear God, I thank you that you see me just as I am. I realize I've sinned and I've walked away from you. I receive Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. I believe that he died for me and that he rose again. Please forgive me of my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Take every part of me now be my God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we celebrate that? Amen. I get our altar workers to come forward. We got some great prayer teams that are going to come down here to the front. I'm about to dismiss, and as I do, right behind our video cameras is a New Beginnings area. If you prayed that prayer to give your heart to Jesus today, they've got Bibles for you. They have all kinds of help and resources. We just want to help you any way we can to walk this life out. And so if you want to talk to one of our volunteers back there, we would love to do that. In Geneseo, they'll talk to you there as well. I'm sure your leaders will make themselves available. Let me bless you and dismiss you. The altars will be open for prayer. You might need one of these breakthroughs we've been talking about. We can also agree together with other believers and believe God for those things. So I'd be totally appropriate to come up and get some prayer before the holiday. Let me pray, and we'll send you off to have a very Merry Christmas. God, I bless Life Church as they go. Bless Geneseo. Bless Rockford, Lord. Roscoe. Bless all those watching on the internet. Lord, I pray this season we become believing believers. As we kind of hear these stories again, we see those little nativity scenes. Lord, may it bring us back to the miraculous and the things that are going on and that you're declaring to us during this time. God, I pray this be the best holiday they've ever had. I pray, God, that they would have a great time with their families and their friends, safe travels where they go and as they come back. Lord, may it be easy and relaxing, not stressful. Pour into them, Lord, as they receive your gift, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Merry Christmas. God bless you as you go.